This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
I'm Martin Strong. Let's get right to the consumer news from the past week. We started this week with gas prices around the Lower Mainland once again cracking the $2 a liter level. As soon as last Sunday evening turned to Monday morning, a lot of stations started displaying the $2 a liter number on their signs. And it's kind of been hovering a little below, a little above ever since. It's not a record high, but the fact is it's still only March, and that does not bode well because historically prices don't peak until around late April or the May long weekend. And according to GasBuddy.com, you can blame much of the recent hike on the switch from winter to summer gasoline. To help cars start in cold weather, winter fuel contains butane, which is relatively cheap, but it generally is not recommended for summer driving. When the butane is burned in warmer temperatures, it contributes to low-level ozone, which can be really bad in cities where there are potentially hundreds of thousands of vehicles driving around. It's also the time of the year when refineries are doing spring maintenance, and that means they aren't producing as much fuel. And of course, when the supply is low, prices go up. So how high could gas prices go this spring? Patrick DeHaan from GasBuddy.com says if there are any issues at any of the refineries, we could see the cost of gas climb from about $2 to $2.20 or even $2.30. Interest rates should be coming down sometime this year, according to the Bank of Canada, but exactly when is up in the air. The central bank released a summary this week saying that the governing council members agreed that if the economy and inflation evolve in line with their projections, they will be able to begin cutting interest rates before 2024 is over. That said, there was some difference of opinion among those governors about when those cuts would come. The Bank of Canada held the interest rate steady at 5% earlier this month, and at the time they kind of brushed off questions on the timing of any future rate cuts. More than a month after a national auto summit, which was aimed at finding ways to prevent car theft in Canada, Toronto's police chief is reporting the new data from last year on auto thefts, and it's not good. Chief Myron Demque says the stolen cars across the city of Toronto have a value of $790 million. And also scary is the fact that there was 68 carjackings, which is a 106% increase compared to the same period last year. And it's been called the front page of the internet. Talking about Reddit, the news provider and social network, which you probably already use. Reddit went public on Thursday, trading on the New York Stock Exchange, and on its first day, it jumped 55% in value. So I guess some early private investors got very rich, and they're having a pretty good weekend this weekend. Investors pushed the value of Reddit close to $9 billion just seconds after the opening bell. And the interest surrounding Reddit is, of course, because of the huge audience that it has. And this audience religiously uses the site to talk about everything, ranging from, you know, silly memes to politics, existential worries, and to get recommendations from like-minded people. So that's the new media. The old media isn't doing as well. For example, the magazine Sports Illustrated, once a powerhouse, has been on the verge of shutting down for a while now, going out of business. But the magazine just got a new lease on life. SI has announced it will continue operations after the company that owns the brand reached an agreement with a new publisher for both a print and digital edition. And what this means for the writers and other people who produce Sports Illustrated still remains to be seen. The new owner, Minute Media, will begin meeting with employees over the next couple of weeks as it figures out how much of the staff is going to get the axe. The American Kennel Club is out with its annual list of the most popular dog breeds. And this year, it's once again the French Bulldog. And this concerns me because these French Bulldogs are coming to this country and taking the jobs from Canadian Bulldogs. Wait a minute. I'm being told there's no such thing as a Canadian Bulldog. Never mind. Anyway, the Kennel Club released the new standings on Wednesday. French Bulldogs were also the number one breed last year. They're very cute, these little Frenchies. And after the French Bulldogs, the most common American Kennel Club breeds were Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, and the Classic Poodle. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and it's tax season. It's well underway, but help is also on the way, and that's coming up next.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. It is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and tax time. It's tax time again, officially, and it can be confusing, especially if you're self-employed, you own a business, or maybe you're new to this country. That might mean you have to deal with cross-border tax stuff, very complicated, and it can end up costing a lot of money you might be able to avoid. And with me now is someone who can help you navigate those waters, no matter what your situation is. Britt Lamp is from Manning Elliott. Manning Elliott Accountants and Business Advisors, of course, have developed a team of professional accounting specialists with offices in Vancouver, Burnaby, Surrey, and Abbotsford. Britt specializes in providing comprehensive accounting, tax, and business advisory services, and she's also focused on helping European clients in navigating the complex waters that are the Canadian tax system. And Britt is with me now. Britt Lamp, thanks for being here.
Hello. Nice to be on your show. Thank you very much.
And as people can probably tell from your accent, you're from Germany.
Absolutely. Yes, I was born and raised in Germany.
And you made it to Vancouver. That's great. What made you come to Vancouver?
My husband, actually. So I started off in Germany after finishing university, worked for IBM a little bit, but later found my true passion in public practice. Mm-hmm. I have a German accounting certification. And then my husband decided that we should move to Canada in 2003.
Nice.
And he promised me that this would only be temporary, but Vancouver actually became our new home. So
yeah,
there we are.
Well, there you are. And your new home is also Manning Elliott. And people, I should say, can go to manningelliott.com. There's two T's in Elliott, manningelliott.com, if you have some questions about your tax situation. And it's kind of interesting because you bring along with a lot of expertise on the tax system. You also can help German-speaking people, European people, because when people move to Canada, it becomes a very complicated tax system. I know I have some friends who have worked in the United States and then they move back, or they've done the opposite. And sometimes you're doing two tax returns. It can get really complicated, can it?
Yes, of course. And having earned certification actually in both countries, in Germany and in Canada, gives me, of course, firsthand experience in both tax worlds. And that makes it easy for me to help actually my clients understand some of the issues that they actually face when they have to file in both countries.
Yeah. Are people surprised by how complicated it gets? Because I always thought if you move to a new country, you just do the taxes there, and then you move back, you do the taxes in the other country. But it's not like that, is it? Well, what's the most confusing thing?
That's actually very true. So I have clients coming to me years after they actually immigrated to Canada and are surprised about the compliance they have to do. So they walk in here 10 years later and then I have to tell them, oh, you didn't file the foreign reporting forms. And then they sit there. But I filed in both countries. I did all what I filed my tax return in Canada or and in Germany. I did everything I was supposed to do, and then you have to tell them no. Actually, there's more to it. So yeah. And lately, COA has increased the penalties that are imposed actually on these non-compliance issues, and not being compliant can be really, really expensive.
Wow. So if somebody listening has just moved here, they might want to talk to somebody, because 10 years later, that seems like a very unpleasant experience to suddenly be told, oh, something you didn't do 10 years ago is coming back to haunt you now.
Absolutely. So I can only encourage new immigrants, no matter where they are from, actually, Germany or from any other countries, to actually seek professional advice. Meet with an accountant, let them evaluate what your filing obligations are, especially if you still have assets or ties to other countries. That's a number one for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it seems that way. So if people go to manningelliott.com and find out, what's the process like with somebody who comes in to talk to you? Because we're talking about a number of different clients. Who are the kind of clients that you deal with? Some people are business owners. Some people are just single or just, you know, regular working people who are taxpayers. So who are the clients that you deal with?
Absolutely, all kinds. You mentioned it, business owners. I have some really older clients that just have German pensions, and they come every year. They come in and meet with me in person because they don't like to communicate over the internet, and I just have helped them with their Canadian filing obligations for their German pensions, for instance, a really small tax return. Or we have big returns where clients still have European investments in banks in Germany, Switzerland, where their filing obligations are more substantial.
Wow. So even as simple as somebody who is retired and has a pension and is living in Canada, even that can get complicated, eh?
Absolutely. Unfortunately. Yeah.
And that's why you want to call Britt Lamp at Manning Elliott, manningelliott.com. So what's the process like if somebody wants to get a hold of you? What's the process? What are the first questions you ask?
So you mentioned it already. The first step to get in contact actually with my team would be to go to the website. There is a link under services to the German practice group. You can fill in your information and can send it off. This will be then forwarded to our team here. Or you can also, my phone number is on the website. You can call me directly. And set up an appointment. I usually do 15 minutes, just like the two of us do now, just talking about your issues, and then I will see if I can help.
Yeah. And I mean, Manning Elliott, we talk to the folks at Manning Elliott all the time here on Vancouver Consumer. And you have offices in Vancouver, Burnaby, Surrey, and Abbotsford. And it's kind of, you have somebody who's tailored to whatever your need is. Like, because your expertise is kind of a niche thing, like German-speaking people and European people, yeah, and people from outside of the country. But Manning Elliott, you know, has a little bit of something for everyone, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We have a Chinese practice, we have a Japanese practice, we have a specialized bookkeeping service that we offer, we do business advisory, services. We do audits, review, we just prepare financial statements, you name it, we offer it. So
yeah. So just for a second, let's talk about somebody listening who may not even be from another country. They're living in Canada. They're born here or something. What general advice do you have? What's the biggest mistake that people make around tax time? That's a general question for you.
Difficulty. We see so many different scenarios with my European clients. What I find very often is that they are not aware of that there are strict Canadian filing deadlines,
right?
Which here are essential to meet. In Germany, you can always extend your filing deadline. You just call in and you say, oh, I wasn't able to file. Canada doesn't offer such flexibility. And I have clients coming in here then half a year later. What do you mean I can't extend the filing deadline? So, yeah. So
Wow. That's
a big one for at least my clients. Then I see very often problems with immigrants coming to Canada, going to the bank and investing in a tax-free savings account where contributions are restricted. So you need to know your rules around that. That's a very mistake I see very often. What else? Foreign tax credits. There are so many different things that might pop up that are important and clients are not aware of.
Yeah, no, just all those different things kind of illustrates to me why you should call Manning Elliott, because it seems very complicated. And I'm very impressed that, I don't know if I'm impressed, but it's interesting to me that Canada is more kind of ruthless on the filing dates than Germany is.
I had to learn that too when I actually came myself, then working as a professional, and it's like, what do you mean we can't call them and explain the situation to them and why we need an extension? I had to learn this myself, and that's where it's very important that if Europeans come here, immigrants or investors, they just assume the same rules apply and are later so surprised when specific regulations and issues actually emerge. And yeah, so that's why seek advice, go out there, talk to an accountant and get all your compliance in order.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I could imagine what sort of sense of relief it would be for someone who is, say, German speaking or speaks a Chinese language or something like that, to be able to sit down with an accountant in your own language. That would probably be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge benefit. I sometimes still have that if I can talk to somebody in my native language, it's so much easier. Also for me, because I understand the concepts in Germany, Europe, Austria, Switzerland, I actually can show them the difference here to make clear, no, it's not like that. You have to believe me. So it makes it much easier for them.
Yeah. So if you are in that situation, or if you're an English-speaking Canadian, Manning Elliott can help you this tax season. ManningElliott.com is the website. There's two T's in Elliott, and you can talk to Britt Lamp or one of their many other professionals there. They've got lots of them. They have offices all over the Lower Mainland. They're in Burnaby, Vancouver, Surrey, Abbotsford. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Britt Lamp from Manning Elliott about tax time and making it a little easier for you. That's when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. It's Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and we are talking about tax time with our guest, Britt Lamp. She's a partner at ManningElliott.com. Manning Elliott, of course. ManningElliott.com is the website, and they have offices all over the Lower Mainland. You can find them in Vancouver, Burnaby, Surrey, Abbotsford. pretty much anywhere. Just go to manningelliott.com. You can find out anything you want. And we were just talking about the differences between the tax system of filing your taxes in Canada versus in places like Germany, because Manning Elliott has specialists who speak all sorts of different languages, and Britt, of course, speaks German, and it's amazing to me that that Canada is stricter than Germany when it comes to not letting you extend your tax filing deadline. That still blows my mind.
You really like that one.
Yeah. So let's talk about the client relationship that you have, because we've mentioned that you deal with all sorts of people. As I say, you specialize in European clients, especially German-speaking clients, and they have people who can help people who are from Japan and China and all that stuff. And you deal with all sorts of people, locals and everything. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the client relationship with Manning Elliott. How important is it to really have a good client relationship, and what does that look like?
So for me especially and for my team, I want clients to feel comfortable when they're navigating these mentioned complexities. So I usually sit down with them and try to really break it down and explain everything in detail. I would consider myself approachable, and I always encourage clients to reach actually out to our team and me in case they have any questions or concerns. So please pick up the phone and call me, and we will really help you to understand what's needed. Mm-hmm. So our tailored personal approach, the language proficiency, and the understanding of both actually the Canadian and the European tax systems will help us to actually guide you as clients. As mentioned before, I think public practice, I like the challenge of it. It's complex. It's very strict deadlines. We work like crazy right now. April, March is tax time. But we try to make tax compliance as painless as possible for you, while, of course, finding the best solutions also for our clients. So this is something that's really important to me.
Yeah, yeah, because I think a lot of people have a strange relationship with taxes and tax time and filling out their taxes. And, I mean, do you find most people when they come in, they're just, you know, they're so frustrated, or they're intimidated by the process? And then do you find that?
Yeah, I find that. So intimidated is sometimes the right word. I have clients that are then shocked about the kind of compliance they have to provide to COA and say it cannot be. And we, of course, try to talk them through and just make them comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And I guess if you're from outside of Canada, does that change the rules for the tax-free savings accounts and RSPs and things like that?
It does. So one common mistake, and I can share this with you here, is that you immigrate to Canada, you go to the bank, and the banker tells you, oh, you know what, we have that opportunity, you can invest your money tax-free here in Canada, and you can contribute ABC. But the banker doesn't realize that the person that is sitting in front of him is an immigrant and doesn't have any contribution room. So you only earn your contribution room once you're in Canada and you file your taxes here. You don't have the 10-year contribution room that everybody else has that is living here. So that's a big tax trap that many clients don't realize, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah, so it sort of seems like, do you think that most people, when they come to this country, that they don't think they need help and they think they can do it themselves and they should get some help? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I encourage everybody that has ties still to a European country, if they have assets there, corporations there, they are still working in the other country, please reach out.
Right, Right. And I guess it gets really complicated when someone is self-employed or they have a business and they're investing in a business here. So tell me about some of the people you deal with who are in that situation.
Absolutely. We see that also very often here. If you have investors or business owners, I like to meet with them before they actually setting anything up here in Canada. It's very often the situations are so specific that we really need to sit across each other at a table and say, hey, what are your goals? What are your timelines? What do you want to invest in? And then, very important, we also speak to the European advisors to ensure it's actually sustainable on both sides of the border. Something that works here for Canadian tax purposes very often doesn't work in Europe or in another country. So we actually have long discussions with the European advisors to make sure everything is sustainable on both sides.
Right. And let's talk about some of the other advantages. If people go to manningelliott.com and get in touch with someone like you, and they're from outside of the country, you have a lot of advantages you can provide, like things like a network of contacts that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a robust network of contacts, actually, which includes private bankers, lawyers, notaries, we have real estate agents that speak German, or property manager if you look for somebody that needs to manage your property, or other experts when it goes, like if you're more looking into investing, we have a valuations team, we can help you with grant applications. So there are lots of opportunities here.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about Vancouver, especially in BC, but all of Canada, so much of the country is made up of people who have come here from other countries. And do you think in your mind that the system is set up fairly for that? Or do you think that a lot of work needs to be done to make it simpler for people who have just moved to this country and are dealing with the Canadian tax system?
That's a long and very difficult question. yes, I would wish it would be easier and more straightforward for especially new immigrants that are come, that they are aware what their tax obligations are. But on the other side, tax world is not easy and you want to make it fair. And that's why we have all these rules, actually. So if you look at why it is so complicated and why all this compliance is needed, is to make it fair to everybody, that everybody declares their assets worldwide, that they get taxed on the same things that a normal Canadian gets taxed on. So yeah, I wish it would be easier, but in the end, it is to make it fair. To everybody.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, obviously, if you need help, go to Manning Elliott. And the idea of it should be fair, because I guess if it was really simple, then there would be a lot of ways for people to dodge around, their assets and things like that. And you would get people who would come to this country as a tax dodge or something. So it has to be kind of complicated.
That's what I tried to say.
Yeah, exactly. I just basically said what you said. So we're talking to Britt Lamp from Manning Elliott, manningelliott.com. And we've been talking about the help that Manning Elliott can provide for your tax issues. Because Manning Elliott, we've been talking to Manning Elliott a lot on this show, and they help all sorts of people, from, individuals, also people who own businesses. But also, what you might not know is they specialize in people from outside of Canada, and it can be really, really confusing to do your taxes if you are an immigrant to Canada, and especially if you're from China, from India, from Germany, especially, because Britt is from Germany herself. And I guess before I let you go, I have to ask you, someone you came to Canada from from Vancouver, and you meant to only stay here for a while, and now it sounds like it might be permanent, and we're happy about that. But before I let you go, like what is the best thing about living in Canada, and why do you like it, and why are you staying?
What I found always the when we came here, I found everybody was so friendly and open. We always felt welcome. I didn't speak any English when we came, and everybody tried to talk to me, hands, feet, whatever it was. And of course, then you learn as you go. Just the openness of its people, and I hope it stays like that. We also like the nature around Vancouver, so our family goes hiking and is outdoors quite a bit. So yeah, those are probably the two main things why we stayed here.
Well, awesome. Well, if you're listening and you think that this Brit lamp might be able to help me, and maybe you're from Germany or maybe you're from anywhere in the world and you'd like to get some help with your taxes, because it's a complicated situation when you're filing two different tax forms and all that stuff. So get a hold of Manning Elliott. Just go to manningelliott.com online. Elliott is spelled with two T's. And you can get a hold of either Britt or one of their countless other professionals who can help you with your taxes. Britt, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you so much for taking the time.
Same here. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you so much.
All right. ManningElliott.com is the website. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. And coming up, rental cars and electric vehicles. They don't always mix. And I've got that story next when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back, Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. And with gas prices going up again, electric vehicles are looking better and better. But not so much as rental cars. And Hertz has found that out the hard way. Hertz has just fired their CEO after the company announced it was selling 20,000 of the electric vehicles in its fleet. That's about a third of all the EVs that they have. Car rental agencies are always selling off their cars once they get a few miles on them. It's an important source of revenue. Trouble is, they've recently found that the value of these electric vehicles has dropped so much that it's meant that Hertz has suffered a $245 million loss in earnings in the most recent quarter. And while the number of EVs bought by North Americans is surging, seems like everybody's buying an electric car, there has still been less demand than many of the dealers had expected. So Hertz wasn't getting the kind of revenue when they sold off their electric cars. It didn't help that Tesla started a price war for EVs just over a year ago, and production has really ramped up by all the automakers after the supply chain issues of the COVID era. And part of the problem for Hertz is that electric vehicles aren't always that great as a rental car. Because think about it, people renting a car, they aren't always aware where the charging stations are because they're in a different city. And also, they might not want to take that extra time to charge it when they return it. As you probably know, it's a big hassle to refuel the car just before you return it. And if you don't, you get charged extra for gas, and they charge you triple what it costs at the gas station. But Hertz hasn't really built any charging infrastructure at its rental locations. So understandably, people don't want to go 20 minutes out of their way at 5:30 in the morning to get to a charging station. And Hertz made a big announcement back in 2021 saying that they would be buying 100,000 Teslas. They also announced that they were buying 175,000 EVs from General Motors and another 65,000 EVs from Polestar. That's the company that's owned by Volvo and the Chinese parent company Geely. So that's a lot of cars, but they ended up only buying a total of about 60,000 electric vehicles before they decided to pull back. Another problem with Hertz and their electric cars was the cost of collision and damage repairs. The company told shareholders last year that the electric cars cost about twice as much to repair. But you can't blame all of Hertz's trouble on electric cars. I mean, Avis has a lot of electric vehicles to rent, and they've been making record profits. Avis Rent a Car. Some of the trouble goes back to December of 2022. That was when Hertz agreed to pay $168 million to settle 364 lawsuits related to the company reporting their rental cars as stolen. Yes, they would rent the car to somebody, and then the car would be reported stolen. It was a result of technical glitches and just plain old employee error. But these cases sometimes resulted in Hertz customers being arrested and even thrown in jail. Could you imagine getting picked up for stealing a car that you just rented? Maybe along with the extra collision insurance that they sell you at the counter, they should sell insurance that covers your bail. Needless to say, for Hertz, it was a pretty serious blow to its reputation. Tough to come back from that. I'm Martin Strong. This is Vancouver Consumer. And still to come, are Canadian tobacco companies once again marketing to kids? That story and all the consumer news of the past week when we come back.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.